If you do want me, give me a little sugar. If you don't want me, don't leave me on down. But if you need me, show me that you love. And when I'm feeling blue and I want to, there's just one thing that you should do. Just give me some kind of sign, girl. Oh, my baby, just show me that you're mine, girl. Oh, yeah. Just give me some kind of sign, girl. Oh, my darling, just show me that you're mine, girl. All right.
If you do want me, give me a little sweet talk. If you don't want me, don't leave me on, girl. But if you need me, show me that you love me.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Very pleased to welcome to the show family law attorney Jacqueline Newman. And I'll tell you what, some really interesting things, sad things in many ways, are happening in the world of divorce, are happening to so many women. I guess you could say, you know, will be equal opportunity. Things happen to men a lot of times in divorces, but I've seen this over and over again. And we're talking about financial abuse. And Jacqueline certainly knows better than I. Hey, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So have you seen this as one of the major, major things that have happened where you've got women who are the breadwinner, you know, they're let's say, because we'll say the reverse. Sometimes it's the man that's still the main breadwinner, and we'll do both of those. But what if the wife is the main breadwinner, and it's the opposite with the man in the background, but he's off doing whatever, suddenly the marriage falls apart, and do you see kind of shock and awe with the wife when she's in that situation?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's a situation where, and that does happen a lot, and, you know, and I'm seeing it more and more women are entering the workforce. And I think what happens in situations like that, first of all, men can still be very, very controlling, even when women are the ones earning the money. But what I see happens in situations like that is that there's a lot of resentment coming from the women, in that even when women are the main breadwinners, they're very often still the primary caretakers of the kids. So they're kind of doing everything, and then when, you know, the man goes to leave, they just feel completely distraught, and just, you know, the rejection and everything else that goes on with it, you know, it's very heart-wrenching.
When, as an attorney, do you find that you have to really be a digger looking for treasure because there's maybe hidden assets, hidden apartment, hidden piece of a company you don't know about?
I mean, there is some aspect of it. We definitely bring in forensics. We bring in people that do a lot of that. It's actually harder to hide assets than I think many people think. You know, we do full financial disclosure. We'll go back to the beginning of the marriage. You know, situations where there's cash, such as, you know, restaurants, people that own a lot of their own businesses, things like that, it's a little bit easier. And if you've been planning it for a long time, you could probably do it. But, you know, if somebody's, you know, planning on getting divorced in the next year or so, it's not, and you're a W-2 employee, it's actually really hard to hide assets.
Yeah. So you say that on the money side, hard to hide assets, but there's no doubt that a lot of husbands use money to control their wives?
Oh, I think that that's absolutely true. I think that, you know, I've seen so many situations where you'll have, you know, really, really wealthy people, and it happens amongst people that aren't particularly wealthy as well, but, you know, it's more shocking when you have somebody who's so incredibly wealthy and, you know, you have a husband who's making his wife, you know, report to him every single dime that she's spending. I had a case where the husband was earning, you know, $2 million a year, and she had to report when she would buy school supplies for the children. She had to literally give receipts for the pencils that she would buy for her son's school. It was insane.
Wow. Yeah. So I mean, there, when you're working on a divorce like that, that's one of the things that obviously you would include, isn't it, if you have to go to court?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that comes up. You know, I practice in New York, and New York is a no-fault state. So while if you can bring it to a point that would actually, what they say, shock the conscience of the court, then it might affect what's called equal distribution. But, I mean, I can tell you, it definitely, you know, judges don't like it. And they don't like to see people being belittled in a marriage. And they don't like to see when the economic partnership is not being recognized. So while it doesn't have as much of a punch as you would think it would, from a practical standpoint, it's definitely something that we would bring to the court's attention.
Yeah. What's the most, and I bet you've, how many cases do you think you've handled? I bet a ton.
Oh, thousands.
Thousands.
All day long.
Oh, thousands, Jacqueline. That doesn't say much for the Institute of Marriage. So you have seen it all. And this is probably going to be tough for you to think of, but what's one of the most egregious things that you've ever seen in court? Or before you went to court, when working on a divorce?
The most egregious things. I actually represented, this actually isn't so favorable because I represented the wife in this situation, but we had a case where and it's public record, so we had a case once where my client, the couple had about 4 kids, and the husband found out that the last child was not his, and the child was 5 years old.
Oh.
And it was pretty devastating to him, as you can imagine. And we actually went to the Court of Appeals, which is the highest court in New York on this, because he tried to claim it was egregious fault, meaning that, you know, it shocked the conscience of the court. That's the standard. By basically saying that, you know, she led him to believe that this is her child. I mean, his child, I'm sorry. And, you know, he's going to raise this child, because the way the courts look at it is that even if the biological father came forward, which did not happen in this case, but even if he had, the court would still say that the husband is still the father of the child based on the fact that that's what the child knows. So he'd still be on the financial hook for this child, even if it wasn't biologically his. And so he tried to say that that was egregious fault, and we went to the Court of Appeals, and ultimately we won, and the court did not say that was egregious fault. But it was a very heart-wrenching, you know, 5-year case.
Oh, wow, 5 years. So, and you know this, too, because you've handled so many cases. Sometimes, eventually, someone gives in and you settle it up and that's great, but it sounds like you've been to court a lot. Does that happen too, where someone says, take me to court, I'm ready, I'll just ride this sucker out?
Yeah, no, it happens a lot. I mean, you know, our practice, we do other types of divorce. I tell people there's 3 ways to get divorced: is mediation, collaborative law, and litigation. You know, and I tell people all the time that when it comes down to it, you know, odds are you're going to settle your case. It's just a question of when. But I've had clients that have said to me, you know, cause my big line is that, you know, you want to pay for your kid's college or mine. You choose. And I've had people that have said, look, I'd rather you get the money than her because at least you've earned it.
Wow. Wow. That tells you something. I love that line, too. That's classic that you say that. And is it equal opportunity? The men, can it be as bad as the women and vice versa?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, there's, you know, they say a woman's scorn, but I can tell you, men, they both want blood. You know,
they both want blood.
It's an equal opportunity situation. No question.
Wow. So it's you know, like the War of the Roses totally exists, mm-hmm. doesn't it?
Oh, it absolutely exists. Sometimes I look at that movie and I think it's tame.
I love it. Jacqueline, thanks so much for coming on the show. We'll have you back on again. You were great. Thanks.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's interesting, you know, the reference there of War of the Roses. If you remember that movie, remember Kathleen Turner was in it and Michael Douglas? It was brutal. It was a black comedy, needless to say. And somebody told me about it. So, because when it came out, I didn't see it when it came out. And then I guess I rented it at some point. And oh boy, how I ever got married after watching that movie. And it was the people in the movie had actually been in, if you remember, Romancing the Stone and The Jewel of the Nile. It was kind of a hot time, I guess, for Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner and Danny DeVito, because they were all three were in it. And it's the married couple's name, family name is Rose, and that's what the whole thing is in a reference to, actually the battles between the houses of York and Lancaster, and at the end, you know, of the Middle Ages, which it's not a veiled reference. It is a reference if you know anything about history. And the marriage is just brutal. I mean, the marriage starts to fall apart, not in the beginning. I mean, they're all excited, they get married, the whole thing. And then the material possessions become the main thing about this incredibly outrageous divorce. It is so bitter. So when Jacqueline says the thing about, you know, whose college do you want to pay for, my kids or, you know, yours, or, you know, that reference is hilarious because it's so true. In some of these cases, they can drag out forever. And that's, you know, that's the whole idea. Often that's the strategy, I think, for some of these people when they take it all the way into court versus, as she mentioned, there's other ways you can settle. You can do a mediation. You can do a collaborative law. You can use collaborative law, which is supposed to be the gentler, kinder, kindler, that's not a word, kinder way to divorce versus having to go through the whole system and all the time and everything else that it takes. But boy, she's spot on when she says it, because I have heard that from more attorneys who say it's like taking a meat cleaver and just this severing the ties. And often it's about blood, guts, and revenge, I guess, in a sense, for whatever happened that time in the marriage. So interesting stuff from Jekyll Newman talking about divorce and family law, especially when the statistics say, sadly, that marriage is down. It depends on who you believe, but I hear below 50%. Of course, there's no scientific way to prove that. All right, hang on. Much more to come down the road here on America Tonight.